Heavenly Father, we are so thankful tonight for the opportunity you have given us to meet at this place and time to hear the gospel of your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we are eager this evening to hear about the love you've shown for us through your Son, Jesus, and the love we are obligated to return by keeping his commandments. We pray, Lord, tonight that someone wants to be added to the Church of Christ, the only church you have ever authorized, Lord. Pray that someone is moved by this message tonight where they are pricked in their heart, that in their mind they have made the decision to do what is required of them to be saved. Be with Brother Parker. Pray, Lord, that he stand bold and proclaim unto us the bread of life. Pray, Lord, tonight that in this medium, someone is willing to hear and someone is willing to obey. Heavenly Father, we ask this praise in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Flunder. We appreciate you so very much. We're so thankful tonight to have each and every person on, especially those of you who are not members of the Church of Christ. We put this call on with you in mind. Now we encourage you to open your Bible and follow along with our speaker tonight. Our speaker will bring us a message from the Word of God. And please pay attention because he's going to talk about how you can save your soul. So tonight our speaker is in person with Brother Curtis Parker, North Carolina. And we're so thankful he's accepted our call. He's a repeat defender. He's been on our program before. And tonight he's going to talk about, if you love me, keep my commands. This week we're talking about love. Speaking about the same thing, Monday night, Horace Stroud talking about God is love. Tim Ellerby last night talking about God so loved the world. And tonight, Brother Curtis Parker, if you love me, keep my command. All right, talk to us about that, Brother Parker.
Thank you so much, brother. We definitely, first of all, would like to thank the leadership of the Highland Heights congregation and those who had a hand in putting together this wonderful work of the Nationwide Gospel Meeting. So I'm definitely honored to be able to be a repeat speaker on the work that you're doing here. So definitely it's an honor for myself on behalf of our congregation. But the topic given to me when I was given the topic, I really love this topic because I think it really, as some folks say, is where the rubber meets the road. When you think about the topic of love, and you know, we just had a holiday that our world celebrates that many folks call Valentine's Day. And, you know, it seems to be that everybody just kind of goes crazy, and a lot of folks are happy on days like that, and you have some folks that are disappointed or maybe, you know, didn't get shown the love that they thought they deserved. So it kind of ties into the topic this week. You know, I know we're talking about speaking about the same thing, love, and then even more in detail about the greatest of these things is love in 1 Corinthians 13:13. So that word love, the topic that was given to me, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's a very good topic to speak on, so I'm glad that was chosen for me to speak on. Because that word, if, I think there's the two biggest little words that we have in our dictionary, in my opinion, are the words if and but. When you think about the word, if you love me, keep my commandments, you know, that's God letting us know that actions speak louder than words. There are so many folks in our world who claim to love God, but the actions don't really show it. I think the last statistic that I ran across, my eyes ran across, and it stated that roughly 80% of the people in our nation claim to be Christians, but when you look at their lives and you look at the fact that their lives really don't line up with God's word, then you really have to question, have they met God's definition of loving him? Many folks say it. Many folks say it from time to time, and it is so easy for lips to form the word love, but it's a whole lot harder to show it. So I'm going to come from the springboard verse of John 14:15, where Christ just states plainly, if you love me, keep my commandments. So I think I'm going to add one little word without taking it out of context and say this: if you love me, then you will keep my commandments. And I like to look at scriptures like this from all angles. So I like to look at it from another angle that says, if you don't love me, you won't keep my commandments. And that's what a lot of folks don't really like to think about. But when you think about that verse, God is letting us know that our true love and a true love for him is always backed up by action. Now, action termed in biblical terms means obedience. It doesn't mean, you know, jumping up, hooping and hollering. It doesn't mean, you know, just on Sundays or maybe Wednesdays showing you love him, but it means showing a true love that meets God's definition of it 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. But God makes it plain. If you love me, then you will keep my commandments. Your love, our love for him, is demonstrated by our obedience to him. There are so many other scriptures that kind of bear witness to this. For example, 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 3 kind of state the same thing when it says this: for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. And I think that kind of supports the initial scripture that I gave, because it says, for this is the love of God. This is the love of God. God loves us, and he loved us by giving us the greatest action he can ever give us, by sending us his only begotten son. God has shown us time and time again that he loves us by action. So only true love is reciprocated with action on our part. Sometimes we forget that. But then I like the last part of this verse, because it says his commandments are not grievous. He doesn't give us anything that's too hard for us to keep. You know, sometimes we look at God's word, and many folks believe that God is just some joy kill who's just deciding to take away all the fun in the world to keep us from having. But that's not the God that we serve. The commandments that God is giving, they're for our good, they're for our benefit, they're for our own spiritual health. But many times the world doesn't look at it that way. But the Bible tells us plainly that if you love him, we'll keep his commandments. God has from the beginning drawn love and commandment keeping. Matter of fact, he gives us that example in Matthew chapter 19, verse 6, when it says this: for what therefore God has joined together, our love has always been gauged by how we feel towards and react towards Bible commands. And that's the hard part for many folks to really accept. It's not just what we say. It's not just how we feel sometimes, as some folks say. Some folks say, well, I feel the love of God, but does that feeling motivate you to act and obey his word? So don't just base your love on some feeling, because that's emotional. That's surface love, as I like to call it. It's based on our actions. It's based on us doing what God has commanded us to do in actions. And then we're going to talk about at the end of my lesson what types of obedience that he requires. Because sometimes we obey him begrudgingly or grudgingly. That's not the love that he wants. He wants it to be based on the love that he has for us. Because we love God because he first loved us. We do for God because he first did for us. We show God action because he first showed us love by sending us his begotten son. We know that we ought to respond in kind to the grace, love, and mercy that he showed us. But it's done by actions. So let's look at a few things that God wants us to do that prove our love towards him. Matter of fact, number one, it says that if we love Jesus, the first thing we'll do is we'll deny self, take up our cross, and follow him daily. We get this commandment from Luke 9:23, when he says, and he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him first deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Now, this right here lets us know that Christ says that if you want to follow him, if you want to be his disciple, the first thing you have to do is deny yourself. You know what? In praying for this lesson, that is the biggest hindrance to really self-sacrificing love, is denying yourself. Because in our world, the reason why many times marriages end in divorce and relationships end in ruin is because nobody wants to deny self. If you ever want to follow God, if you ever want to keep his commandments by loving him, you must deny yourself. It must not be about self or pleasing self. But then it says, take up your cross. Now, notice it says your cross. Christ didn't ask us to bear the cross that he bears, but make no mistake about us. Each and every one of us have a cross to bear. We don't have to bear our neighbor's cross, our spouse's cross, but we have to bear the cross that God has given us for. But this cross is not always one of pain and misery and suffering. It is the glorious cross that God has given us. So don't think that these commandments are all grievous, all burdensome, all heavy and weighing us down. There's so much glory, there's so much joy in carrying the cross and obeying these commandments, because they are good for us. It's because God loves us that he wants us to obey him. So when we look back at John 14:15 and understand that these commandments that he says, and when Christ says, if you love me, keep my commandments, the commandments that he has given us to keep, these are things that are good for us. These are things that only promote and really produce even more and more love if we approach them with the right attitude and the right mindset. Another thing that we'll do if we love Jesus is that we'll seek God's kingdom and his righteousness first in our lives, according to Matthew 6 and 33, when it says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." When you look at this particular commandment, he's telling us what we must do to keep his commandments. We must seek God's kingdom, which is the church of Jesus Christ, which is the Lord's church that is in existence today, the only one that we can read about in the Bible. But then it says, and his righteousness, his right living according to the standards that God is giving us. So it's not just having a name on a roll. It's not just participating in something one time a week. It is God's righteousness, his right living, his mandates, his commandments that we must take to be our own. And then it says, and all these things shall be added unto you. This is the part that many folks forget that happens, that God blesses us with when we keep his commandments. So it says that if you love me, keep my commandments. But the thing that we don't realize is that he blesses us over and over again, abundantly, beyond our what our little feeble minds can even imagine and think about. He adds these things to us. It also lets us know that if we love Jesus, we will defend the truth when it is attacked. That's also part of us keeping his commandments. We see this in Jude 3 when we are to defend the faith that was once for all delivered unto saints. I think sometimes when we look at the world we're in, Christians are so busy pointing their fingers about the world we're living in and how bad it is. But one of the problems that we have in our world today is that we have stood by and laid down our swords, the Bible, and have not defended God's truth the way God has wanted us to do and commanded us to do. But if you love God, it's not a problem to stand on the commandments that Jesus has given us. It's not a problem for defending the truth. We understand that comes with persecution. We understand that comes with hard times. We understand that we may lose a little friends and be a little less popular. We understand that folks on Facebook will unfriend us and all those other things. But make no mistake about it, we do it because of the love of God. We even see this in many other aspects of our lives, but we know that God wants us to do these things. Another thing that proves that we love God by keeping the commandments, it means that we will also take the gospel to as many folks as we can reach. There is nowhere in the world that we can say we love God and we see folks dying by the wayside, dying without Christ every day, and it does not bother us or move us. You know, God has given us the great commandment to take the gospel to every creature. You know, we think about what God has commanded us to do, and we know that we have the power of the gospel, but we still sit on it. We still hide it under a bushel. We still keep it to ourselves, and we still claim to love God when God has commanded us to take the gospel to a lost and dying world. That is one of the reasons why the gospel is not being spread and the church is not growing, because we have failed at this in many aspects of our lives. But the Bible says clearly that if we love him, we'll keep his commandments. And one of those commandments is that we go about spreading the gospel. We hide behind such things as being shy. We hide behind such things as nobody will listen. But that's not for us to determine. That is in the realm of God. God just asks us to go and teach. It's kind of sad when folks have been in the body of Christ for any length of time and have not made it their point to teach somebody the gospel. You know, and some folks hide behind and say things like, "Well, I'm not a teacher." We're not talking about in a public setting, but you know somebody that doesn't have Jesus in their life. If that does not move and motivate you to want to teach them the gospel, then I don't know what does. But that commandment is still there. If you love me, keep my commandments. Another thing that proves our love to God in keeping his commandments is that we have a awe and respect always for God's word. The inspiration, authority, infallibility, and all sufficiency of the power of the gospel, according to Colossians 3:17. We realize that this reigns supreme in our lives. This is the thing that instructs us. This is the thing that encourages us. This is the thing that admonishes us. It is God's word that reigns supreme in our lives. somehow, some way, many of us have gotten to the point we've laid aside God's word and taken man's traditions and replaced them with God's word in our lives. We know, according to Matthew 15, verses 7 and 9, that this is a vain outsetting. This is a vain task, because we know that when this happens, it even makes our worship vain. But we sometimes forget that we must stand on God's word at all times, because Christ tells us, if you love me, keep my commandments. That is a mandate. And we know what his commandments are if we are studying God's word as we should. We know what God wants us to do. Colossians 3:17 says this, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. This guides our mandates as far as worship, everyday living, and every other aspect of our lives. God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, because we know that if we love him, we'll keep his commandments. And his commandments, as we said before, are not grievous. God wants us to do these things. God commands that we do these things. We prove our love not only to God, but also to the world, that we are truly his because we keep his commandments. We know that we please God when we decide to keep his commandments. And this is what God wants us to do each and every day of our lives. We also know that if we love Jesus, we will be busy about bearing the fruits of the Spirit in our lives. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23 tell us this, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Think about that for a moment. If we love God and keep his commandments, this is the natural spiritual byproduct of us keeping God's commandments. We will begin to produce fruit, not 30-fold, not 60-fold, but 100-fold in many areas of our lives. And think about all these wonderful spiritual fruits that we produce. Think about not only the blessings that it brings into our lives, but how we bless other saints' lives, how we bless the outside world's lives. Think about the love and the peace and joy that we can partake in and add to other folks' lives, that we ourselves partake in, and that we also add into the lives of those that we love and care about and the lives that we touch each and every day of our lives. When I think about the world we live in, and I think about even just the last calendar year that we've been in, some of the different and most difficult times of our lives that we've been through in many of our lives. And I'm still a relatively young man, and when you think about all the things that just happened this past year, and how many folks have lost loved ones, and how many folks have just things that they really depended on are no longer there. Think about what an awesome time it is to witness for Jesus. Think about what an awesome time it is for God's saints to show the joy and peace that is not touched by things of this world, that is not affected by things like coronavirus, that is not affected by things like job loss, that is not affected by folks not acting right in our government, that's only affected and is only given to us by God himself. And matter of fact, it's given to us in a place and with a mandate that the world can't touch it unless we give it to them. God has given us a peace and a joy that the world didn't give and the world can't take away. What a powerful witness it is to be in a time like this in this world. There are folks out there who are needing to see this in the saints' lives today. And oftentimes, because we have not kept his commandment, it is not produced and showing evidence in our lives. And it's kind of sad if you've been in the body of Christ and are not producing spiritual fruit. Things like long-suffering. Folks need to know how to bear up when things don't go right in their lives. Folks need to understand what the spirit of gentleness looks like when everybody else around them is cruel and mean-spirited towards one another. They also need to understand what goodness and faith and meekness and temperance look like. But it's not coming from the world. It should be coming from those that Christ dwells in. It should be coming from those that have made it their life's mission to keep God's commandments. And then you think about this, if you love Jesus, think about how beautiful it is to make just making sure that we're governed by the Beatitudes that Jesus taught on the Mount of Olives. Think about how much it is. Think about what a blessing it is. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 3 through 12, we see some of the Beatitudes mentioned as this. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And many more that I don't have time to mention now. But think about what it does to the world. Think about when it says, blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. God has so many blessings for those who keep his commandments, but it also is proof that we love him. Now let's talk about for a little while the reasons why many folks obey, because it's really several types of obedience that we come into, or that reason why we obey, but I want to look at three particular types of obedience. Reasons why we keep his commandments. One of those is what I call selective obedience, which means that this is what, honestly, a lot of folks are basically obeying God under these auspices. Selective obedience really means that we selectively obey God when we like what he says about certain things, when we appreciate, when we agree what he says, but we don't want to obey everything that he says in his mandate. So when you think about it, that's not truly keeping his commandments. We say it like this. I love God, and I want to keep some of his commandments that I agree with, that don't affect me, that don't bother me, or that I don't have to change in my own personal life. That's not what he's talking about in John 14 and 15. But that's how many folks look at obedience. These are the folks that believe that they can have one foot in the world and one foot in the church. And we know that's not possible, but Christ tells us on many occasions, and I'm paraphrasing it here, that you're either for me or against me. You're either with me or against me. We also know that, as I said this evening in my church's Bible study, that basically you're either walking in the light or you're walking in the darkness. There's no in between. They won't accept all the reasons for God's command. Oftentimes, they play ignorant to the fact they know exactly what God's word says, but really, deep down, they don't want to obey it. And then there's what I call maturing obedience, which means that we're striving and growing to it. And we even see that in a little bit in Christ's life on this earth, because when he's in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prays three times to let this cup pass from him. But then he says this, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. That is evidence of a maturing obedience. This is evidence that you're moving towards the mindset of keeping God's commandments. And that's a growth process. We know oftentimes those who are new in Christ or new babes in Christ, they begin with selective obedience, but hopefully they'll mature to the point or grow to the point where they cross over into maturing obedience, to the point where they begin to question, but now they begin to see the importance of really taking God's view on the system, of really obeying God's command and laying aside their own. We see this even at times in Christ's earthly walk on his ministry. We see the human side of Christ saying three times, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But then we see the spiritual side of Christ saying, nevertheless, let thy will be done in my life. And then really, what really lines up with John 14 and 15 is what I call the Savior's obedience. Where we see Christ willingly laying down his life, willingly obeying and keeping every jot and tittle of the Father's command for him. We see that evidence in Philippians chapter 2 when it says that he made himself of no reputation, stepped down out of glory, and he kept all of God's commandments as God had given him. He knew he had a mission. We also knew that he was both man and God. So we also knew that at times himself, that man showed up even in Christ. But we also know that whatever he did with God, it was motivated from a heart of pure love. And that's the goal of every Christian. So that when we decide to keep his commandments, we ought to want to grow and mature to the point where we are motivated from a heart of pure love for our Father and his love for us. This leads us to willful obedience. It results in joy and bliss in our spiritual minds and in our spiritual lives. It results in us bowing down and prostrating ourselves before the mighty God who reigns high and looks low. It results in us not even getting to the point where we no longer question whether God has our best interest at heart. It gets to the point where we learn to trust God at all times. It gets to the point where we really learn to walk by faith and not by sight in every day of our lives. This is where we want to live and dwell in our Christian lives. This is what lines up with John 14 and 15 when it says, if you love me, keep my commandments. So when you think about this Savior's obedience, we understand that it opens up God's blessings in our lives. We also understand that it is taught by examples. We set examples for it. We look at other examples in our lives, those Christians that we look up to, those Christians that are more mature in the gospel than we are. But we also know that when we really decide to make this our mission, it really does progressively make us stronger and stronger in God's word. We become stronger and stronger in Christ. When we decide that, yes, I love you, God. Yes, I love you. I love you so much that I'm going to make it my mission to keep your commandments. Not also has settled in my mind the fact that they're not burdensome and they're not heavy. Settling in my mind that you know what's best for me. Settling in my mind that you always have my best interest at heart. Settling in my mind that you do these things out of love for me. And then you'll really start to grow spiritually exponentially. You'll really start to understand the love God has for us. And I think we never really do until we get to that point. You really never really truly start to understand who God is and how much he loves us until we grow to the point where we love him enough to decide to keep his commandments. So as we journey on this side of glory, our spiritual growth is marked by us learning and deciding to keep his commandments, because God honors that. This is how we measure our growth in Christ. We go from doing it grudgingly. We grow from selectively doing it. We grow to a maturing obedience. And then hopefully we'll grow to the point where we're at least able to operate the vast majority of the time in Savior's obedience, where we begin to not even question what God has for us. We begin to accept his commandments as the word, the be-all, end-all, that settles all. We begin to understand and accept God's word as the only mandate for our lives. We decide to lay aside all man-made creeds and doctrines. We begin to understand that it is only because God loves us that he gives us these commandments. And then that would really help us grow to be more and more like Christ. It speeds up that process. And then, as the song says, that process of falling more and more in love with him each and every day of our lives really takes hold in our lives. And we begin to love him even more. And as we love him more, we want to keep his commandments more. And as we keep his commandments more, that love that we have grows. And that's how we get there. It's not anything. It's not a magic bullet. It's not anything that we do. It's not some emotional feeling that we give. It starts with a decision. And as we decide to do these things, that relationship that we have, it draws us closer. It draws us closer to the point we can really walk in the light. As it tells us in 1 John chapter 1, we begin to walk in the light each and every day of our life, because we know this. Also, I know the topic given Monday night was God is love. But the Bible says God is both light and love. And when we walk in light, we also walk in love. And if we walk in love, we also almost by default ought to want to keep his commandments, because we know that God is love. But if he's love, then we also know that he's also obedience. A lot of folks also, many folks in this world, all only want to concentrate on certain aspects of God. But God is more than just light. He is more than just love. God is also just, which means that by his own very nature, he has to if he rewards those who keep his commandments, he also has to punish those who don't. And that's what the world doesn't think about. They don't want to think about that. They want to bury their heads in the sand when it comes to God punishing those who don't obey. But the sad reality is, if he rewards those by his own very nature, he has to punish those who disobey. So make sure that by the time that we have on this earth, before we leave this earth, that we decide to keep them. That God's commandments aren't grievous, even the things he's asked us to do to be saved. There are so many folks in the world today that will tell you to do all kind of things. I was in a congregation, not in a congregation, but I knew of a congregation back in my home place in North Carolina that was telling people they had to run around the church 7 times a day, 7 days a week, and then the Holy Spirit would hit them and save them. And my question was, where do you read that in Scripture? The answer I got was, it's not in Scripture, but the Holy Spirit told it to me. Well, people ought to stop lying on the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is not going to tell you anything but what the Bible does. The Bible makes it plain. He gives us and makes it plain. He says, we hear the gospel. They come by hearing and hearing by the word of God, according to Romans 10:17. Then it says we must believe what we have heard. Now, this belief is not just a passive belief, but it's an active belief that's based on action. So we know that we must do it. Mark 16:16 says, but this belief should lead us to repentance. It's to lead us to repent of our sin. That is part of this action that proves that you truly believe what God says. And then we must confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, but not just with our mouth. You know, my grandma once told me that a parrot can talk. You're not doing anything more than a parrot can do if all you're saying is words. Make sure that it's backed up by actions. So repentance is backed up by confession, and that should lead us to the water of baptism. Why? Because God says so. You may say, well, I don't believe anything in baptism. Who asked you to believe it? Who asked you to decide what God is? God is the one who determines what we must do to be saved. But it's always been in his plan. It's always been a part of God's saving process, not set aside. There is not an incident in Scripture where someone was saved aside from baptism. When you look at totality of teaching on salvation, water was always in his plan. And then we must live faithfully unto death. But as I said before, we sin from time to time. We still fall short. But God says, I'm going to help you with the cleansing blood of Christ by giving us access to a second law of pardon, which is repentance. So when you think about all those things, and then he adds us, by our obedience to the gospel, he adds us to the body of Christ. And then he starts to make us over. And then we really start to grasp the concept of loving him and obeying him from a background or from a motivation of pure love that we have for him. We begin to love the fact that he saved us from our souls. We begin to really see how bad off we were when we were still in sin. We begin to really see how much we need him still, even though we were baptized. And that causes us to love him more and more. And then when you love him more and more, you ought to want to obey him more and more. And that's how we get to the point where we really grasp and accept the concept that if you love me, keep my commandments. Thank you, brethren. Thank you for the time. I really enjoyed it. Thank you so much.
Thank you, my brother. We appreciate you so very much. You can always ask everyone, do you love Jesus? They say yes. But then Jesus says, here's how I know. If you love me, you keep my commandments. You ask him, do I keep the commands? No, but I love him. Well, somebody's wrong. Here's the thing. As the brothers talk tonight, those who love him will keep his commandments. One of the commandments we keep is repentance. When we're wrong, we admit we're wrong. We confess our faults. When we love him, we repent, and we obey him. Doesn't mean you're not going to do wrong, but loving him means you do what he tells you to do to get it right. And so thank you, brother. We appreciate you for you gave us all a lesson tonight on love and keeping the commands and important things that we should be doing in our lives to help others as well. We thank you, brother. If you're on the call tonight and you're not a member of the Church of Christ, you're our very honored guest. We wanted you to hear this message because if you love him, you will keep his command. You will be baptized. You will be a member of the church you can read about in the Bible. That's the obedience that he talked about tonight. Not according to your will, but God's will. And we want you to do that. So if you want to get baptized, you want to become a member of the Church of Christ, you've heard our lessons, maybe probably not the first time you've heard it. Maybe it is the first night. you're ready to obey God because you love God and you love his son. You want to be obedient. You want to keep his commands to avoid losing your soul. And get back with the person who invited you to our call and tell them you want to obey. Or maybe you need further teaching. You have questions that you want answered. Get with that person. I'm sure they'll make the arrangements for you. If not, you can email me at nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. That's nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. And we will make the arrangements for you no matter where you are in our listening audience. If you want to go back to our website and listen to this recorded message, it will be posted probably tomorrow. And you can go on there and listen to it at hollandheightscoc.net. That's hollandheightscoc.net. And there you click on Nationwide Gospel Meeting Call, and you will be able to access all of the recorded messages. And so we hope you will do that. We want you to do that. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we are so thankful that you loved us. We know your love. You know you so loved us, you gave your son. It was your son said if we loved him, we would keep his commandments. We want to do that because he showed us his love. You showed us your love, and we want to show our love in return in obedience to your will and your way. Pray a special prayer for our visitors who are not on the call tonight, who may not be members of your son's church, which he purchased with his blood out of love. We pray that you bless him. You bless his father to bless those who are listening to understand that they must receive your word with meekness for it's able to save their precious souls. And we thank you for our speaker tonight. Pray your blessings upon him, his family, the work and service he's providing to those members of the congregation he serves. Continue to bless them, Lord. Bless them in a special way. Thank you for all of our speakers and their family. We pray your blessings upon them, their works, and all the efforts they're doing. Thank you for their love for truth and their love for lost souls. Most importantly, their love for you and the sacrifice of your only son. Be with us, Father, as we continue to reach out. Bless our listening audience. It's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, another great night. Third night of this week. We just finished Wednesday. Tomorrow night, love is the fulfilling of the law. Brother Ricky Cook. Excuse me. Brother Ricky Cook. And you're closing us out. Greater love has no man. Claiborne. What a week for love after all we've seen in the world, all the things that are going on. I think that's why Paul said the greatest of these three is love. If I had to think about that, I would say it must be because God is love. I think so. Have a good night. Stay warm. We love you.